Maybe you could just briefly review what we know about, you know, we have Midas-Thorn and particularly Giltiaritna that kind of looks like it's kind of a little bit different than Midas-Thorn.
Right. There's a couple out there that are being tested. There's a drug called Quizartinib, Giltiaritinib, and Crinolinib. And they're all quite potent FLT3 inhibitors. Some of them, interestingly, and this is one of the nuances, is that Giltiaritinib and Midas-Thorn, for example, and Crinolinib, all inhibit both the ITD mutation, which is the more common, and the kinase domain mutation. And why is that might be important? The kinase domain mutation may not be particularly important in terms of prognostically, although I'm not sure about that at all. But one of the things is when you use a drug, for example, like sorafenib, what often happens is an emergent clone with the kinase domain mutation comes to the forefront. And so it's potentially better to block both potential FLT3 mutational types. And those three drugs all do that. The new generation, the three, crinolinib, giltiaritinib, and quizartinib, are all more potent and have, as single agents, induced complete remissions, which we haven't seen with the earlier generation. Midas-Thorn as a single agent will not induce a complete remission. I would never advise using it as a single agent to treat a relapsed patient.
So how do you think this is going to play out over the next couple of years? Which of these agents do you think are going to get approved and how are we going to use them?
Yeah, well, I think they need to move forward. Some testing needs to be done in the frontline setting, but I think any of them might get approved. I think probably closest are quizartinib and giltiaritinib to approval. And how will they be added? I think we need to learn that. And we need to learn whether we can use them in combination safely with both the hypomethylating agents and with standard chemotherapy for AML. So I think that they will be approved. And I think that we need to move them to the front line so that we can avoid emergence of resistance or clonal evolution of disease.
So you kind of touched a little bit on gemtuzumab, but do you want to kind of bring that in a little bit and kind of what you think might be happening and what you think is going to be done if it does get approved?
I think a lot of community oncologists will use it in the relapse setting, which is going to be its indication. It's not a great drug in terms of its single agent response rate. It can be quite toxic. It can prolong cytopenias. And interestingly, the subset of patients who have done the best and have actually been shown to have an improvement in outcome are the patients where it was used in the front line in the favorable cytogenetic risk groups, the core binding factor leukemia. So it's interesting to think about in that setting.